Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Tomorrow, America is going to celebrate the 4th of July, the Independence Day, the day reminding us of the Declaration of Independence or freedom from Great Britain and the British King, and also upholding the values of liberty, of freedom, of equality, and of justice for all. But do we have these standards today? Today we have a leader who rules by executive order. This is a part of the United States Supreme Court. What am I talking about? Well, as one example, let's think of the decision by the United States Supreme Court saying that a judge cannot issue any longer nationwide injunctions against executive orders by the president, something which has been in force and effect for many, many years. It had to do with the birthright citizenship question. Now, the Supreme Court didn't answer that question itself yet, but it has created all kinds of confusion and disunity with making the decision which they did. Because Mr. Trump wants to do away with birthright citizenship for children who are not born in this country as children of an American citizen or as children of a green card holder. So everybody else is going to be a non-citizen, even though born in this country. So this includes people who are here legally, let's say on a tourist visa, on a work visa, on a student visa, and who then give birth to a child. No, these children would not be American citizens, even though they're here legally. They're here legally. They're not here illegally. So this does away with the concept you sometimes hear reported in the press that it's only talking about those who are coming over the border being pregnant and 2 or 3 days later they give birth to a child so that the child could become an American citizen. The order by Trump goes far beyond those people. And the question is it going to be applied retroactively even? In other words, not just for those who are being born in the future or right now, but also for those who had been born in the past. You might say, absolutely not. There is no way that it could be applied to retroactively because it would be unconstitutional. Well, the order to find that somebody who is born in this country is not an American citizen is already unconstitutional. The Constitution is very clear. It says that everybody born in this country and subject to its jurisdiction and the jurisdiction thereof is an American citizen, period. And there is no argument against that. Now, what the Supreme Court has done, it has created utter confusion because now you have states which have sued Trump and the Trump administration. And so in that regard, the injunction and the preliminary injunction received still stands, meaning that the children born in those states are American citizens. But then the other states, they have not sued because they figured, oh, we have a nationwide injunction. And now children born in those states, they are no longer American citizens. Can you see what kind of confusion and disharmony the United States Supreme Court has created by not addressing the issue of birthright citizenship, which there's only one possible legal conclusion, what they need to come to. But we have right now an administration which engages in military attacks without congressional approval. Now, I grant you that presidents have been doing this all along because Congress has abrogated its responsibility. Under the Constitution, only Congress can do that. Only Congress can declare war. But Congress has passed this on to the presidents, and they have made those decisions, and therefore have already helped to establish an autocratic situation, a dictatorial governmental situation. But then we have a situation now where an administration wants to denaturalize Americans. So Americans who have become Americans via the process of naturalization. Now they want to do away with that in some cases, perhaps in many cases. The Guardian wrote on June 30, "The Trump administration has codified its efforts to strip some Americans of their U.S. citizenship in a recently published Justice Department memo. Those subjected to civil proceedings are not entitled to an attorney, like they would be in a criminal case, and the government has a lighter burden of proof in civil cases, of course, than in criminal cases. The directive gives Justice Department attorneys wider discretion on when to pursue denaturalization." And the Huffington Post went further and clarified on July 1, "About 25 million people in the United States are naturalized citizens or immigrants who have completed the legal steps to become U.S. citizens. Previously, denaturalization had been used at a larger scale between 1907 and 1967, when an estimated 22,000 people saw their citizenship revoked, including for political reasons that emerged during the McCarthy era and its persecution of suspected communists." The McCarthy era, one of the darkest chapters in American history. It goes on to say, "While the process historically focused on people who had lied about their background to obtain U.S. citizenship, the new memo has much broader criteria. Steve Lovett, professor emeritus at the Northwestern University Pritzker School of Law, said, "Many of the categories are so vague as to be meaningless. It's not even clear that they relate to fraudulent procurement as opposed to post-naturalization conduct." And so here we go. So you have an American who is a naturalized American, and so he commits some kind of a conduct, and the government comes in saying, "Oh, well, your naturalization has to be revoked, because we think that that is something which is a valid grounds for revocation." And so then you have those people who are no longer American citizens. You have American citizens who are, according to the government, no longer American citizens, even though they have been born in this country. So where does it end? This is all very deeply alarming. Far from focusing merely on illegal aliens who had been convicted of capital crimes that it had been told us at the time, Trump goes after aliens without papers, legal tourists, other aliens who are here legally, green card holders, birthright citizens, and now even naturalized American citizens. Where will it stop? When is America going to wake up? We have an administration which has ICE conducting raids on anyone they want. But that was not what we were promised. Remember, that was not what we were promised. We were told about hardcore criminals being convicted of terrible crimes, coming out of prisons, coming out of mental asylums. But Kristi Noem recently said, when she stood in that alligator Alcatraz environment, she said, "Oh, they can self-deport, and then they can come back legally." Well, if you are convicted of a terrible crime, you can never come back legally. But you see, even those who are being forced to leave the country, even through self-deportation, most of them have no chance of coming back legally. They would never get work authorization. They would never get residency. So it's all a red herring. But that's what's being done here. You want to get rid of strangers, pretty much. And so you have all kinds of interesting articles about the misconduct of ICE. The Los Angeles Times newspaper wrote on June 29, "A Times analysis found that 69% of those arrested had no criminal conviction, and 58% had never been charged with a crime. The median age of someone arrested was 38, and that person was likely to be a man. Nearly 48% were Mexican, 16% were from Guatemala, and 8% from El Salvador." And then the LA Times also reported about ICE arrest of a six-year-old with cancer outside the LA court, while his mom was fighting for his release. Now, ICE has been justifying its conduct with inevitable collateral damage. Well, if you have 58% or 69% of those who have been arrested of not having any committed any crime except for the quote-unquote crime of being here illegally, now that's quite a high figure for collateral damage. The Rap wrote on June 29, ICE agents will pick up anyone with brown skin, regardless of whether they are legal here or not, and sometimes even if they are American. It doesn't seem to matter. With their faces obscured, no warrants, no identification, ICE is showing up at the Home Depot, they're showing up at parks, car washes, restaurants, schools, in medical offices, looking for patients and staff, I might want to add, in court buildings and in churches. It goes on to say, you might see men pull up in one SUV or several, armed to the hilt and dressed in combat gear, surround a young woman, no more than 100 pounds. That was in Ladera Heights. Now let me ask you this. What impression is the U.S. given to the world when pictures of military gear-clad masked ICE agents are launching aggressive raids, pictures which are normally only known in autocratic dictatorships? We have an administration which people are afraid of to stand up to. There is a climate of fear, of anxiety, of hopelessness. Attorneys' firms have been threatened. Now, some have filed lawsuits. Others have engaged into an arrangement with the administration, and they are doing pro bono work for items which the Trump administration likes to be done. We now hear about a settlement for a, as it was called, bogus lawsuit to get apparently approval for a merger. What I'm talking about is a settlement of a $16 million payment to the Trump Library, which paves the way for Paramount, which is a company of parent company of the CBS News agency, to merge with Skydance Media for an amount of $2.4 billion, which, and here's a clincher, needs approval from the Trump administration. It had to do with an interview which was broadcast by CBS News, an interview with Kamala Harris, which was not broadcast in its full scope, and Trump filed a lawsuit. Now, most experts have said this is kind of a bogus lawsuit, no chance for success. He said, well, I was hurt by not showing the entire interview which Kamala Harris has conducted. But here we go. Here we have a settlement done, enormous amount of money, apparently to get even higher amount of money, but the Trump administration's approval was necessary for that. And so Republicans have become those who buckle when it comes to the big, beautiful bill. Some have said we are standing up to that, and as I'm speaking right now, it's still ongoing, but, you know, chances are it's going to be adopted in one way or another. Of course, Elon Musk has stood up strongly to this bill, having said that's complete utter insanity and nonsense, and of course, specifically in light of the tremendous amount of debt. But now Trump threatens him with deportation to South Africa. No wonder that millions of people have participated in No Kings parades, because that's what the 4th of July is all about. We are not supposed to have a king in the United States of America, according to the Constitution. Now, I hear the voices. I hear the accusations. Oh, Mr. Link has become a left, liberal, radical. He is unpatriotic. He is suffering from the anti-Trump syndrome. Look what he is talking about. Well, the Bible tells me not to answer a fool according to his folly, so that I won't become like him. These statements, these accusations are just foolish. They are nonsense. They are ridiculous. I have been talking about bad situations under the Biden administration. I'm even talking about bad situation under the Obama administration. And I'm not closing my right eye now because it happens to be the Trump administration. But the Bible also tells me to answer according a fool according to his folly, so that he doesn't think he is wise. So let me do this. Let me just engage in a little bit foolishness. The Bible tells me to cry aloud, to spare not, to show my people their sins and their transgressions from the top down to the bottom. The Bible says, don't mistreat widows, orphans, fatherless, strangers. God says, I love the strangers, and you ought to love them too. And I don't find a biblical scripture saying, yeah, you love the strangers as long as they're here legally, and otherwise you can curse them. I don't see that. Do you see that? Do you find a scripture like that in the Bible? As we have told you before, America is living in sin. Now, God has blessed America due to the obedience of Abraham, and so God has blessed America unconditionally because of that. But he has also said, if you continue in sin, I will take those blessings away from you again. And that is what we are experiencing right now. America has won its last great wars. It will never win a war again. America will never be great again. It will never be wealthy again. It will never be envied or loved again prior to Christ's return. It doesn't matter how many weapons of mass destruction and nuclear bombs America may have. It's not going to win another major war. And so when celebrating the 4th of July tomorrow, we should think of what that day actually stands for. And then we should compare with what we have today, and we should ask ourselves the question, is that what the 4th of July was meant to be for us? Thank you very much for listening, and I wish you a meaningful 4th of July tomorrow. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.